chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, kids, so why is today a special Sunday?
Because it's Easter.
It's Easter, great. What happens on Easter Sunday?
We play the Lord dying on the cross.
That's right. Jesus is resurrected. We've already said it a couple of ways. And so during the sermon, I may say something like, "He is risen," or we may read something that says, "He is risen." And does anybody know what the right response is? That's right. He is risen indeed. But I think you can say it a lot louder than that. He is risen. Excellent. So listen up. I'm going to say it a couple of times, and I expect to hear you jump right on it and say he is risen indeed. Okay. Now here's my question. This is for anybody. Adults, kids, doesn't matter. How many of you have woken up from a bad, bad dream? I think everybody has. What did it feel like when you woke up from a really bad dream? What did it feel like? You're scared, absolutely. What else? Maybe you're a little confused, right? Like you maybe still felt like the dream was still happening. Really bad dreams have that effect on us. And what is the one thing you really wanted after waking up from a very bad dream? You can say it. You know what it is. Yeah, you want your mom and dad. Absolutely. The one thing you want after a bad dream is your mom and dad to come in, to hug you, to stroke your hair, to pat you on the back, to whisper over you and say, "Shh, it's okay. I'm here. I love you. It's just a dream." The thing we all want in the presence of a nightmare is comfort. Comfort. Now, I want to tell you something. This passage is all about somebody giving somebody else comfort in the midst of a very, very scary situation. Now, the disciples, you remember the disciples? There's the apostles, right? There's 12 of them that follow Jesus. But then there's a bunch of other disciples, right? There's dozens and dozens of other disciples that follow Jesus. We've been talking about the Gospel of Luke. And all along through Luke, we meet some of those disciples, some of those people whose lives are changed or who hear Jesus say something and they start following him, right? That's what a disciple is. Well, the last 2 days, what do you think those disciples have been feeling? Do you think they've been happy seeing Jesus crucified? Probably not, Ford. You know, they're probably actually pretty upset. They saw their best friend. They saw their leader. They saw a man they respected, a man they were following, get betrayed by one of their own friends. And then they saw him get nailed to a cross. And they saw him die. That's a pretty scary situation. In fact, the disciples feel like the last 2 days have been a nightmare. They're crying. They're confused. They're worried. And this passage that we just read is about a group of women, of at least 6 or more women who were there when Jesus was crucified. They were some of his most faithful disciples who stood with him when he was being killed by the Romans. They want to come to Jesus' tomb and they want to mourn. And they want to be able to pour out their grief with one another and to God. And so they go to his tomb. Does anybody know what a tomb is? What's a tomb? Absolutely right. It's a place where somebody's put when they're dead. And in this time, a tomb was a little cave. It'd been sort of like a little short cave dug into the hill, and then a big rock would be rolled in front of it for a door. Okay? And so there's this little cave where dead bodies are put, and then the stone is covering the little cave. And so the women who are going there to mourn super early in the morning, before even the youngest of you get up, maybe like 4 or 5 in the morning, they're up and they're going to this tomb. When they get to the tomb, what do they find? Does anybody remember in the story what they found? What? Yes, I heard it back there that Jesus' body wasn't there, and they also heard that the stone had been rolled away. Now imagine you were there. What would you feel if you saw the stone rolled away from Jesus' tomb? Maybe a little scared? Also maybe a little curious? And that's exactly the way these women were. They were both scared and curious, and so they went inside the little tomb, and what did they see? I think it was Libby back there, right? It was empty. The tomb was empty, and they're perplexed. You guys know what perplexed means?
Yeah.
What does perplexed mean? It means they were confused. They didn't know what was happening. They're like you in the morning. You're perplexed about what's going to happen. And then what happens? This is the big drama. What happens now? 2 angels appear, right? And the 2 angels appear to them, and the angels are wearing shiny clothing. It's super bright. And the angels, when they see them, how do the women respond to these 2 angels? You can say, how do they respond? They're so scared they fall down on their faces, right? They're absolutely terrified. So they've had a bad 2 days. They're scared. They're confused. And now these angels appear and they're terrified. It's like the nightmare just keeps getting worse. But these 2 angels are there to do something other than terrorize them. They're actually there to comfort the women. These angels do and say some things that provide exactly the kind of comfort your mom and dad provide to you in the middle of the night when you wake up from a nightmare. They say 3 things. So kids, if you're taking notes, these are 3 things. They say 3 things that change these women from being scared to actually being joyful. The first thing they say is something funny. The angels say something funny. They say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Let me ask you a question. When you're hungry, do you go to the garage to find a sandwich? No. When you're hungry, where do you go? To the kitchen, of course. Exactly right. That's what the angels are kind of teasing these women with. Why are you come to a tomb? Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. And in their teasing, they're trying to coax them out of being so scared so that they can hear the next thing they say. The angels say something that's funny in order to say something that's true. And what is it that they say that's true? He is risen. All right, here's your cue. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. So they tell the women that Jesus is risen, that he's no longer dead. Now, who's more powerful, Jesus or death?
Jesus.
Jesus. Come on, everybody should know that answer, right? Jesus is more powerful than death. Now, for kids, a nightmare is terrifying. But for us adults, death is terrifying. Death is something that scares us. We put off thinking about it. We don't like talking about it. We don't like being in the same room with it. Even when people we love die, we have roundabout ways of dealing with the situation because we think it's such a huge enemy. And yet here these angels proclaim to these women something about death that is so true, that it's not more powerful than Jesus. That death is like a monster in a nightmare that dissipates, that goes away as soon as we wake up and we see the sunshine. Jesus rising from the dead, that he is risen, means that we do not have to fear dying anymore. So he tells them something funny, he tells them something true, and then lastly, the angels tell them something important. What is the important thing that he tells them? He tells them, remember what Jesus told you. The angels aren't just telling these women stuff they made up. They say, remember, you're his disciples. He has spoken to you. He has told you about what is going to happen. He has revealed his character to you. You should know these things. Because all you have to do is remember his words. So in the midst of being scared, in the midst of being upset, the words of Jesus oftentimes leave us because the emotion gets so powerful. And we begin to think that what really matters is the emotion. Okay, I'm talking to adults now, clearly. I'm talking to me. In moments of confusion, in moments of being upset, in the moments of facing death, our emotions get the better of us. And we forget the words of Jesus. We forget the revelation of God's character that Jesus brings to us. We get so consumed by the immediate that we stop basing our lives and our thoughts and the way we live upon the words of Jesus and the words of Scripture. We lose our foundation. And it only makes us feel increasingly more and more lost. But the reminder, the essential reminder here, is not just the resurrection. As factual and as true as it is, the important power of this message of comfort is the solidity of the Word of God for the people of God. It gives us comfort regardless of our circumstances. It gives us the ability to anchor ourselves no matter how swayed we are by the events swirling around us. That these words here to them mean that they can depend, they can trust, they can rest on what Jesus has already said to them. All right, kids, what's the result after the angels talk to these women, telling them something funny, telling them something true, telling them something important? How do they react? What do the women do, guys? Do they sit there? No. What do? They go back and tell their friends about what just happened. These women are changed. Remember, just a few minutes ago, they were scared and worried, and now they're excited. They're encouraged. They're hopeful. They have a message. Think about it. These women, this group of 8 or 10 women, are the first evangelists of the church. The first humans who proclaim, "He is risen." That comes because these women listened to the words of comfort. And those words of comfort got them out of themselves. It got them centered on what was true. And it got them remembering what was really important. And as a result of that, their lives are absolutely made complete. They have a story to tell. They're excited. They run back. What helps you go back to sleep after a bad dream? Having somebody comfort you. Knowing there is somebody who cares. The words of comfort by these angels have that same effect on these women because they're comforted. They are able to be at peace. And because they're at peace, they move into what they were purposed to be from all along. They have a message. They have joy. They have hope. Because Jesus is alive. His words are the basis for our lives. He is risen. Alleluia. Let's pray. Jesus, you are risen. And also your words are trustworthy and true. And no matter what is happening to us at the moment, whether it's a nightmare, a challenge we're facing, even devastating illness, we know we can rest on you and find comfort where these women found comfort. Amen.